Let's read together Numbers chapter 11, verses 26 through 35. Now, in this last section of Numbers chapter 11, we read about the Spirit of the Lord coming upon two elders who were not at the tabernacle. We also have the record of the large number of quail that the Lord brought into the camp to discipline his complaining people. Numbers chapter 11, beginning at verse 26. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses returned to the camp, both he and the elders of Israel. Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day, and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people. And the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. So he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people moved to Hazeroth and camped at Hazeroth. Let's begin our study of this last section of Numbers chapter 11 with some background notes. In the first part of Numbers chapter 11, we read about the children of Israel complaining in the wilderness. They complained about their problems and their provisions. And we read in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, when the people complained, the Lord was displeased. Complaining was one of the sins of the wilderness. The sins of the wilderness kept the children of Israel from moving on to the promised land where God wanted his people. As a result of the sins of the wilderness, the children of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness before entering the good land of promise. All of this, of course, has something to say to us. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we read, For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. Romans 15, 4. If we commit the sins of the wilderness, we too will fall short of all the spiritual blessings that the Lord has for us in this Christian life. Instead of appropriating and enjoying our spiritual blessings in Christ, we will wander in the wilderness of Christian experience. Did you ever notice how complaining will disrupt your fellowship with the Lord? Now, here at the end of Numbers chapter 11, we see how the Lord answered Israel's complaining about the manna. The people were tired and bored with the manna and wanted meat to eat. So God answered their complaint by giving them so many quail to eat that they were sick of meat. Just as God had promised back in verse 20, they ate quail for a whole month until it came out of their nostrils. Remember that verse? We also saw in the earlier part of Numbers chapter 11 that Moses himself complained to the Lord about his heavy workload. In response to Moses' request, the Lord had Moses choose 70 elders from the children of Israel, and the Spirit of God came upon these 70 elders in order to help Moses with the spiritual leadership of the people. Verse 25, once again. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses and took of the Spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened, when the Spirit rested upon them, that they prophesied, although they never did so again. This temporary gift of prophecy certainly confirmed Moses' choice of the 70 elders and showed the people that they were chosen of God and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And certainly more we could give for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for this last section of Numbers chapter 11. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord is pleased with the spiritual desires of his people. The Lord is pleased with the spiritual desires of his people. Question. Without looking at your Bibles, what were the names of the two elders at the time of Moses who remained in the camp and prophesied? Answer. Eldad and Medad. Verse 26. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. The fact that the Spirit of the Lord came upon these two men who remained in the camp emphasized that this sovereign act of God was independent of the presence of Moses. Remember, Moses was at the tabernacle with the rest of the 70 elders. Now, Joshua, Moses' assistant at this time, tried to get Moses to restrain Eldad and Medad. Joshua was concerned that Moses' leadership position would be threatened. You know, this reminds me of the disciples' reaction when they saw someone casting out demons in Jesus' name. You remember that event? I'm reading Luke chapter 9, verses 49 and 50. Now John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to him, Do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. Luke 9, 49 and 50. You know, I love Moses' response to Joshua here in Numbers 11, 29. Then Moses said to Joshua, Are you jealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Moses was not jealous in any way. He was big-hearted and magnanimous in his response. Moses is a great example here for all of us to follow. Moses wanted all of God's people to be gifted and spiritual. And you know, this is the Lord's desire for us today. This is the Lord's desire for his people today. And today, every believer is indwelt of the Holy Spirit. And every believer has spiritual gifts to use for God's glory. 1 Peter 4:10. Let me read that verse. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. 1 Peter 4:10. God is pleased when we want to use our natural talents and abilities and our spiritual gifts to serve one another and thus glorify the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 says, This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of an overseer or elder, he desires a good work. God is not only pleased with our service, our Christian service, but with our spiritual desires. Let me ask you this morning, how are your spiritual desires? Notice I did not ask, what is your Christian service or what are your spiritual gifts, but how are your spiritual desires? The Lord is pleased with the spiritual desires of his people. Doctrinal point number 2. The Lord is displeased with the selfish desires of his people. The Lord is displeased with the selfish desires of his people. In verse 31, we see that the Lord answered the people's complaint about having no meat by bringing in quail from the sea. Verse 31, Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side, and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. The sea here would be the Red Sea, and the quail were probably blown off their normal migratory course by a strong wind that the Lord would have sent along for that purpose. Now, the fact that they were 2 cubits above the surface of the ground, that's 3 feet, all around the camp, can be interpreted in 2 different ways. One view is that there were so many quail that they were piled up 3 feet deep all around the camp. The other view is that the exhausted quail flew only 3 feet high so that the people could catch them or club them as with a baseball bat. Now, it's true. There were a lot of foul balls hit. And it does say in verse 32 that he who gathered least gathered 10 homers. However, you were disqualified if you used any bat that had cork in it. Seriously speaking, you could go with either interpretation in line with the Hebrew text here. Flew 3 feet high or piled 3 feet deep. Now, 10 homers is over 100 bushels in measure. And if there were a couple of million people, and as verse 32 says, he who gathered least gathered over 100 bushels, then that's a lot of quail, isn't it? It could be piled 3 feet deep all around the camp. And remember, the Lord said that they would have so much quail to eat that it would come out of their nostrils. Now, there's a lot of quail here in any case. We see in verse 33 that while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. Why? Because the people never even paused to thank the Lord for his goodness. They just gorged themselves to satisfy their appetites. They didn't even pause to chew their food, let alone thank the Lord. As a result here, the Lord was angry and displeased, and he has to discipline his people. The Lord was angry and disciplined his people with a very severe plague. The Lord is displeased with the selfish desires of his people. What about us? Are we pleasing the Lord or displeasing him with our desires? 2 Corinthians 5:9, we read, our ambition should be to please the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:9. And Colossians 1:10, walk worthy of the Lord and please him in all respects. Colossians 1:10. When believers have selfish desires and are discontent and complaining, the Lord is displeased and he must discipline his people. The Lord is displeased with the selfish desires of his people. Practical application. Don't have Kibroth Hatava written on your tombstone. Practical application. Don't have Kibroth Hatava written on your tombstone. Verse 34. So he called the name of that place Kibroth Hatava, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving. Kibroth Hatava literally means graves of craving. Many people died and were buried there because of their greedy desires. Now, most likely, your family and friends would not put Kibroth Hatava on your tombstone, even if your life was characterized by craving. But seriously speaking, what kind of legacy and memories do you want to leave for your family and friends when you leave this scene? Do you want to be remembered as a person who was characterized by Christian love and giving, or as a person who was characterized by selfish desires and craving, greedy desires? You know, you can't hide selfish desires and craving from your family and friends and fellow believers for long. They have ways of seeing behind the mask and smoke screens. Don't have Kibroth Hatava written on your tombstone.